In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. What is freedom? That may seem like a strange question to ask you, a bunch of Americans. After all, we're the land of the free. And just last week, we got to celebrate that freedom by having a day off of work, barbecuing with friends and family, and maybe even blowing up some fireworks. So why then am I asking you, what is freedom? It's because many in this country, including us at times, forget what true freedom actually is. You see, true freedom is not doing whatever you want to do. True freedom is not owning whatever you want to own. True freedom is not when the people rule instead of a government, when the government only rules on behalf of the people, or when a document like the Constitution is followed so that no one person or no one party has too much power. That's not what true freedom is. And if that's all that we think that true freedom is, then we are misunderstanding freedom, and that's really brought out by our text, the familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. For I'm sure you're all familiar with this parable, familiar with the term Good Samaritan. Even in the secular world, they're familiar with the term Good Samaritan. For what is a Good Samaritan? A Good Samaritan is someone who is loving and kind. Someone who goes above and beyond the call of duty to help out someone who is in need, maybe even if that person is their enemy. That's what the world thinks when it hears the term Good Samaritan. Maybe it's what you and I think when we hear the term Good Samaritan. But if that's all we think, if we're only thinking about being loving and kind toward others and going above and beyond the call of duty to help out anyone in need, if that's all we're thinking about, well, then we're actually missing the main point of this parable. And we're missing what true freedom actually is. Why? It's because first and foremost, you are not the Good Samaritan in this parable. Not first and foremost. Instead, who are you? You're the man who is beaten up by the robbers. You're the man who is stripped by the robbers. You're the man who is lying there, half dead, having all this power taken away from him. For after this man fell into the hands of the robbers, what could he do? He couldn't do anything. He couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. He couldn't heal himself. He couldn't take away his pain. He could do nothing. But the only thing this man could do is just lie there under what the power of what his enemies had done to him. It's why this man had no freedom. He was still under the control of those robbers, lying there half dead, even though the robbers by this time were long gone. And doesn't that describe you and me by nature? For you see, by nature, you and me, we are not free. By nature, we are beaten up, stripped, and lying there half dead. By nature, we can't do anything. For while I don't think that any of you have fallen into the hands of physical robbers who left you on the side of the road half dead, all of us have fallen into the hands of the spiritual robbers. And these spiritual robbers of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, they are relentless. They are constantly beating you up by reminding you of all the sins you have committed, trying to plague your conscience and fill it with guilt. They are constantly trying to take everything away from you, including your ability to do good, your ability to show love. And perhaps worst of all, these spiritual robbers, they make you powerless. For just as the beaten up man in our text had no freedom, after he had been beaten up, because he couldn't do anything to change his situation. So it is with you and me by nature. We have no freedom because we can't do anything to change our situation. But we are under the control of the enemies of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, bound to do whatever they tell us to do. And it's a whole lot worse than being beaten up and lying there half dead on the side of the road. But when you're bound to your enemies of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh, the only thing that you can do, the only thing that anyone in this world under the control of the enemies can do, is sin. And sin, and sin, and sin. Until we all lie dead for all eternity in hell. That's the condition of all of us by nature. And if that is your condition by nature, and my condition by nature, and the condition of everyone else living in this world, if by nature we are all under the control of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, having to do whatever they tell us to do, well, is it any wonder why there is so much sin and evil and atrocities in this world right now? Is it any wonder why there are things like shootings at a parade, assassinations of former world leaders, murders in the inner city, or the general anger and division that is all over our society right now? It's not because the former administration acted this way and the current administration is acting that way. It's not because we need more laws, less laws, more restrictive laws, less restrictive laws. It's not because of a single decision that the Supreme Court has made one way or another. Instead, the reason there is so much evil and sin and atrocities in this world right now, it's because so many people are not free. They are bound by their enemies, bound by the devil, the world, and their sinful flesh. That's ultimately the reason why there is so much sin and evil and atrocity in this world. And if that's the reason why there is so much sin and evil and atrocity in this world, if the shootings and the murders and the anger and the division are ultimately all a result of the slavery that people are in, slavery to sin, death, and the devil, well, then the solution to these problems, they can't be found in us. They can't be found in any mere human being. That'd be like telling this man who is lying there on the side of the road half dead, well, just get up and heal yourself. That'd be foolish. And so it's foolish to look to us and to our own strength and power to free ourselves from this bondage that we are all in by nature. But the solution has to come from outside of us. The solution has to come from someone who is not bound to the enemies of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. The solution has to come from someone who has the power to free us, the way that this Good Samaritan freed this man in our parable. For let's go back to the parable for just a second. After the priest and the Levite simply pass by on the side of the road, listen again to all the beautiful things that the Good Samaritan did. We read, a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He put him on his own animal, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, when he left, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. Whatever extra you spend, I will repay you when I return. The Good Samaritan did everything for this man, didn't he? From start to finish, he did everything. He did everything based on his compassion. His compassion which moved him to free this man from what the robbers had done to him. What love this Good Samaritan showed to this beaten up man. What love our Savior Jesus Christ shows to us. For you see, ultimately, Jesus is the Good Samaritan in this parable. Unlike the other religions represented by the priest and the Levite who simply have to pass by on the side of the road because they focus on human beings and what a human being can do, which is nothing as they lie there dead under the control of their enemies. The focus of the one true religion, which is our Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He can heal us. He can free us. For he has compassion on you and me, a compassion that will do absolutely everything from start to finish in order to free us from our enemies. For just think of everything that Jesus has done for you. As you were lying there on the road, powerless to change your situation under the bondage of your enemies, Jesus came to you and he freed you. By bandaging up your wounds, washing you clean in the holy and precious blood he shed for you on Calvary's cross. And then he took you to a place, the Holy Christian Church, where you can grow stronger and stronger and are safe from your enemies. He even gives the church everything it needs to take care of you. And finally, your Savior, Jesus Christ, he promises to return, not only to check up on you, to see how you're doing, which he does every time you're in the Word or Sacrament, but one day he promises to come back for you and take you to heaven, where you can experience true freedom forever and ever without end. And since Jesus has done all these things for you, since he has done all these things for you, not because you earned or deserved it, but simply because of his great compassion that he has for you, since Jesus did all that for you, you're free. You're free from your enemies of the devil, the world, and their sinful flesh. You are free from their bondage, which forces you to do whatever they want you to do. Instead, you are now free to serve in love. You are free to go and do likewise, as Jesus said at the very end of this parable. For you are no longer bound by your enemies, under their control, having only the ability to sin, only the ability to perform all those works of the flesh that Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 5, the murders, sedition, and everything else. That's all anyone can do by nature, but that is not you anymore. Jesus has set you free. He has freed you from that curse. He has freed you and allowed you now to abound in acts of love, to abound in good works, to have all those wonderful fruits of the Spirit, peace, joy, love. You have all of that in your heart because Jesus has freed you. In fact, anyone who has been freed from by Jesus has those wonderful fruits of the Spirit now dwelling in their heart. Is it any wonder why people need Jesus? Is it any wonder why the only way to stop all the evil, sin, and all the atrocities that you see on the news night after night, is it any wonder why the only way to stop that is through the power of Jesus? Only he can forgive sins, and more than that, only he can drive the enemy away. Only he has the power to free you, to free people who are in bondage to the devil, the world, and sinful flesh. Drive those works of the flesh away so that the fruits of the Spirit can dwell in the heart. Only Jesus has that power. And in the end, that's what true freedom is. True freedom, which you have, is being freed from the devil, the world, and your flesh. True freedom, which you have, is having the fruits of the Spirit dwell in your hearts so that you abound in good works that are pleasing to God. True freedom, which you have, is being found in Christ. That's true freedom. And so remain in Christ, my dear Christian friends. Remain in Christ by finding him in the Word and in the sacrament. And in that way, you will remain truly free. Free from your enemies. Free to show love in this dark world of sin, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the Nicene Creed.